We're going to continue here in Birchas Kohanim, and we discussed last time the Mishnah in Sota that differentiates between Birchas Kohanim in the Beis HaMikdash and outside in two ways. First of all, Amen. In Gvul and outside the Mikdash, we split up the brachos into three, and the tzibur responds Amen at the end of each one of those three brachos. In Mikdash, we read the three brachos continuously without a hefsek. There's no room for Amen. And secondly, in Mikdash, the Kohanim pronounce the Shem HaMiyuchad, whereas in Mikdash, they only recite the Kinui of Hashem. I meant to say in Medina, I meant to say. So in Mikdash, as the Mishnah calls it, Kiksavo. Kiksavo means, Rashi says, B'yud Hei, and they vocalize it. That's the Shema Miyuchad. In Medina, outside the Mikdash, is Kinui, Rashi says, B'alef Dalet, Adus. The Mishnah goes on to give various exceptions to the rule of how high the Kohanim have to lift their hands, and Bli Neder, we'll try to get to that in just a few minutes. First, I want to focus a little bit on this requirement in Mikdash of Shem HaMiyuchad, of Kiksava. The Gemara records a machlokes as to how do we derive this halacha, this requirement in Beis HaMikdash, that the brach has to be b'shem hamiyucha, b'shem hamiforosh. Now, before we get to the machlokas itself, and to see the various brisos and the Tanakama, Rav Oshia, and how to derive this halacha, this requirement of shem hamiforosh, I want to raise the following question. We touched on it last time, and now perhaps we're not so rushed, we can embellish it a little bit more. Whenever we see a requirement in a mitzvah, we should always try at least to activate the following question. It's a fundamental question in every single din, in every single mitzvah, and that is, where does that din come from? Where does it emanate from? In most cases, maybe even 90% of the cases, it emanates from the mitzvah itself. The Torah defines what that mitzvah is, how to fulfill it, and every single one of those dinim and every one of those requirements define the mitzvah. They tell you what's essential to the mitzvah. However, occasionally, the requirement of a mitzvah is not inherent in that particular mitzvah. It doesn't emanate from the mitzvah per se, but rather from some general overarching requirement, some what we call din klali, that applies way beyond the confines of that particular mitzvah. It's not halach in the kiyum of that mitzvah. It applies to that mitzvah, but it's simply an application of a general rule. So, for example, if I were to tell you that there's a requirement of kavanah and tefillah, you would have to ask yourself the following question. Is that a universal halach of kavanah, that every single mitzvah requires kavanah, and that's called mitzvah srichas kavanah, or no? There's a specific requirement of tefillah that emanates from the mitzvah of tefillah per se. I mean, just to give you a mashal amad dover dome. Here too, when the Mishnah formulates the requirement of Hazkaras Shem HaMiyuchad in Birchas Kohanim and Beis HaMikdash, we could ask the following question. We know that there's a mitzvah of Birchas Kohanim both in Mikdash and outside of the Beis HaMikdash. And we know that the mitzvah of Birchas Kohanim in Mikdash is unique. And the Mishnah actually delineates two unique features of Birchas Kohanim as a mitzvah in Mikdash. But one could ask, at least in the case of Shem HaMiyuchad, I don't know if the same thing will apply to Amen, if this requirement of Shem HaMiyuchad somehow applies to mitzvos in general, we'll see what that means, or it is a definition of how to fulfill that unique mitzvah called Birchas Kohanim in Mikdash. The first side is to say that there's a halacha in general. What do I mean in general? Whenever the mitzvah in Mikdash requires Haskaras Hashem, whenever the name of Hashem is enunciated in the Beis HaMikdash, it's got to be which Shem? The Shem HaMiyuchad. It's got to be Kiksovo. It can't be just Adnus and Bikinuya. In that sense, what we're doing here in our Mishnah is we're simply applying a rule that operates with regard to the Beis HaMikdash to this particular case of Birchas Kohen. We're not saying anything about the mitzvah of Birchas Kohen in per se. What we're doing is strip this halacha of its unique relationship to Birchas Kohanim. It's not uniquely related to Birchas Kohanim. It's halacha of Haskaras Hashem B'Migdash. Haskaras Hashem B'Migdash, whenever required, Vidui Kohen, whenever it might be, in the Avoda, it's got to be the Shem HaMiyuchad Kiksova. Or no. What are we saying is the Mishnah teaching us that this unique kium of Birchas Kohanim B'Migdash must be fulfilled with the Shem HaMiyuchad, because that requirement, that din, is essential to Birchas Kohanim. Again, not Birchas Kohanim outside of the Migdash, but Birchas Kohanim as unique kium in the Beis HaMikdash. But we're talking something about the bracha. In the first shot, we're saying it has nothing to do with the bracha that the Kohanim are bestowing. It has to do with the Haskaras Hashem in Migdash. Migdash is a place where the Shekhinah is intense. It's there. It's palpable, and there the Shem has to be mentioned. What? Kiksova. Birchas Kohanim is one case in point, and therefore I'm applying that universal rule. When the Kohanim enunciate the name of Hashem within the context of the bracha, then the name of Hashem, because of the din of Migdash, has to be enunciated as the Shem HaMiyuchad. No. The second shot, Michael, I'll be right with you, is no. It has nothing to do with the universal halacha of Shem. That may be true. I'm not denying that. But here, it has an additional dimension insofar as it defines the requirement and the nature of kiyum mitzvahs birchas kohanim b'mikdash.
So you're going to say, well, the nafkamina
is. Yeah, that's what I'm driving at, the nafkamina. But before we get to the nafkamina, what I wanted to suggest is that the answer to this question might depend upon how we derive this requirement. And that's also very important methodologically, that when we have two ways of defining and understanding a din or a requirement, we go back to the original source and we see where that source lies. Meaning, if the requirement of Shem HaMiyuchad in Birchas Kohanim B'Migdash is derived from a general halacha, if we look back at the source, the Alfusa, what we call, and we find that the Alfusa takes us back to the Beis HaMikdash, that means it really has nothing to do with Birchas Kohanim per se. It's not part of the bracha and the nature of that kiyum mitzvah in Mikdash and Birchas Kohanim, but it emanates from and is a universal application of the halacha of Mikdash. It's the Mikdash that's mechayev this Haskaras Shem HaMiyuchad. If on the other hand I find that the source for this halacha of mentioning the Shem HaMiyuchad in Birchas Kohanim B'Mikdash is inherent in the parsha, in the parsha of the Torah, it's derived from the parsha of Birchas Kohanim, then it's halacha in Birchas Kohanim. It may also, and in addition, be an application of the general rule, but above and beyond that, and I think this is much more fundamental, it's a requirement in the bracha itself. That's how we fulfill the bracha in the Beis HaMikdash. And I'll come to the nafkamina, Michael, in just a minute. But first, in the second source on your page, the Gemara quotes a brisa, and the brisa first presents or formulates this requirement of Shem HaMeforash, and the brisa asks, how do you know such a thing? Right? From Vana Vesmedos. Here's Ata Omer B'Shem HaMeforash O Eino Ela B'Kinoi. Maybe it could be a Kinoi. Adnus? Talmud Lomar. Now take a look. Where's the Braisa? This is what I call the Tanakama, the Braisa. We'll soon see Rav Yoshia. Where does it point its finger? Which Parsha? To the Parsha Birchas Kohanim. Talmud Lomar, it says in the Pasuk, Visamu Eshmi, etc., etc., Albanei Yisrov Ani Avarchem, Shmi Hamiyuchad Li. And then the Bryce is going to continue and say, well, you know, if that's the way you're defining the mitzvah and the kiyum of Birchas Kohanim, that the word Shmi means miyuchadli, then why not expand extend this requirement even outside of the confines of the Beis HaMikdash, Yachal Af Bigvulin Kain? And the Gemara, the Tanakhama, the Braisa now invokes a special limud to indicate that although you're right, Birchas Kohanim requires Shema Miyuchad, but that reflects the unique mitzvah of Birchas Kohanim as it applies in the Beis HaMikdash. But stop! Don't go beyond and expand and include even the mitzvah of Birchas Kohanim outside the Mikdash. Nemar kam v'samu v'shmi, nemal ha'an losu v'shmo sham, mal ha'an beis ha'bechira, afkan beis ha'bechira. We have a limud to limit this halacha of v'samu v'shmi, shmi ha'miyuchadli, to that unique kiyum of Birchas Kohanim v'beis ha'mikdash. But then, the Braisa quotes Rav Oshia. Rav Oshia omer eino tzarech. Now I'm going to interpret Eino Tzarech in the following way. Even if you didn't have this Yalfusa, even if you didn't postulate that inherent in the Parsha of Birchas Kohanim B'Migdash, there's a requirement of Shema Miyuchad, I don't need that. I have that requirement of Shema Miyuchad independent of the Parsha of Birchas Kohanim. How do I derive that? Hareyu Omer b'chol makom asher azkir shmi avoy lecha birachticha. Now Rabosai, this pasuk, I'm going to fool you for a second, right? This pasuk is formulated in the parasha of Birchas Kohanim, right? No. That's not right, because this pasuk has nothing to do with Birchas Kohanim. It has to do with Azkaras Hashem. And what does it mean b'chol makom? B'chol makom salkedaitach. Ela mikra zeh misurasu kol makom asher avoy lecha brachticha sham azkir eshmi veheichan avoy lecha brachticha, where will Hashem come and bless you with the azkaras Hashem? That's bebeis habechira sham azkir eshmi bebeis habechira. So you might ask the following question: why is it necessary for this braisa to record two shitos? Now, I'm not denying that there are two shitos here. I'm not denying the fact of life that there are two derivations and two possibly alfusas for the halachic requirement of shem azkar shem amiyuchad in Beis HaMikdash, in Birchas Kohanim. That's undeniable. But what I'm really driving at is, so what's the machlokas? Is it just a toss-up? You know, if you know, it's a matter of tam v'reach, ein l'tfakeach. You know, you like this limud more, and I like this limud more. So flip a coin. Or is there something more profound here that underlies this whole issue here of whether the source, the makar, for the requirement of Shem HaMiyuchad is inherent in the parsha of Visamu Eshmi, in other words, the mitzvah of in Parshas Nasa of Birchas Kohanim, or it's derived from a general halach in Migdash and based on a chira of Kol Makom Asher Askir Shmi? The nafkamina, I think, is not lalacha. We'll get to Michael's question in a minute. But what is the nature of this requirement? Is this requirement a din in Birchas Kohanim? Meaning, there's a unique mitzvah of Birchas Kohanim in the Beis HaMikdash, and now I have to define and carve out that mitzvah and formulate it meticulously. This kiyum of Birchas Kohanim b'Mikdash could be fulfilled by and only by Hazkaras Shem? Or no? It's just a general requirement in Beis HaMikdash that applies in Birchas Kohanim no less than it would apply to any kiyum in Beis HaMikdash which required Hazkaras Hashem. It would always require Hashem's Shem HaMiyuchad. If you go like the Tanakhama, clearly what we're doing is we're defining the nature and the parameters of Birchas Kohen and B'Mignosh. How do you fulfill that mitzvah? The answer is through Azkar Shema Miyuchad. If on the other hand you go with Rav Yoshia, that Rav Yoshia is deriving this halacha from the parasha of Migdash, not from the parasha of Birchas Kohen, if it's not in parashas Naso, it's in parashas Yisro, then my answer to you is that this requirement is not specific and inherent in the mitzvah of Birchas Kohanim. It doesn't define the mitzvah of Birchas Kohanim in Migdash, but rather it's a general, it's an application of a general rule.
What else do you have Shem Hashem in the Mikdash?
Like, for example,
Yom Kippur,
that's the Vidui. It could be that every time the Kohen mentions the Shem Hashem in Mikdash, he's going to have to say the Shem HaMiyuchad. For example, there were Viduyim on other Karbanos, not just on Yom Kippur. So Michael asks me, what's the Nafkamina? So I thought of an Nafkamina, and then I got stuck. The nafkamina would be, if let's say, in the Birchas Kohanim in the Mikdash, the Kohanim would omit, and they would be remiss, let's say, I don't mean remiss in a judgmental sense, but for whatever reason, we'll see why, they were unable to recite the Shem HaMeforash. Would such a chisaron, with such a deficiency, undermine the kiyum of Birchas Kohen Shebe Mikdash? If you're telling me that Birchas Kohen Shebe Mikdash is not defined by Shem HaMiyuchad, Shem HaMiyuchad is just an application of a general rule, then okay, so he forfeits and he, how should I say, he loses that kiyum of Mikdash, but nothing undermines his kiyum of the Birchas Kohen Shemigdash. If on the other hand it's v'samu shmi, it's halacha in the Birchas Kohen Shemigdash, then he's forfeiting the mitzvah of Birchas Kohen Shemigdash if he doesn't have the Shem HaMiyuchad. And I thought that perhaps we can quote two Rishonim, the Ramban and the Rambam. Again, I'm changing the chronological order because I think the Ramban is even more explicit than the Rambam, that this requirement of Shem HaMiyuchad in Birchas Kohanim is Allah in Birchas Kohanim. It's not an application of the general requirement of Hazkaras Hashem Shem HaMikdash. How do I derive this conclusion? The Ramban in Parshas Bamidbar, I should say in Parshas Naso, has an equation here, an analogy, in which he connects the Parsha of Birchas Kohanim in Parshas Naso with the Birchas Kohanim of Aaron in the Mishkan back in Vayikra Perek Tes. And what does the Ramban ask? What is his answer is even more interesting. The Ramban wants to know, Bishlema, he says, the mitzvah of Parshas Naso is the mitzvah l'doros. I mean, that is Birchas Kohen. If you want to design Birchas Kohen and carve it out and define it, you go the place Klach Lecha l'Parshas Naso. But why is it that the Torah goes out of its way to connect Birchas Kohen in the case of Aaron back to the Hakamas HaMishkan? And the Ramban says the following, Kan, here in Parshas Naso, Tzivo L'doros Li'aron Ulbonov, U'pirish HaBrachash Yivarch Osam. This is the carved out mitzvah for all generations of what? Of Birchas Kohen. But his Kira B'Akomas HaMishkan, don't miss a very important point here, that already back in Sefer Vayikra, within the context of HaKomas HaMishkan, Hashem commanded Aaron to recite the bracha, to bestow the bracha. And that connects Birchas Kohen back to the Mishkan. Says the Ramban, that's important. Sham Tziva Hashem is HaBracha. And when he says HaBracha, what I understand is the same bracha, meaning it's the same identical bracha, except with one difference. The bracha as formulated back in Vayikra, is in a sense the most powerful and most profound bracha. Again, the same bracha is going to be commanded to the Bnei Aaron for all doros, but it lacks a certain profound nature that would connect that bracha, as the Torah did back in Vayikra, to the Mishkan. Because there in the Mishkan, how does that bracha take on a unique character? Chaim ad Olam. This, of course, is the Ramban al pi derech ha-emes. There's something that's eternal about the bracha in the Mishkan. And the Ramban connects that with our sugya and our Mishnah. K'mo sha'amru rabboseinu b'migdash. What was unique about this bracha in the Migdash? How is that mitzvah that's incumbent upon the Kohanim Lidoros fulfilled by Aaron in the Migdash? The answer is B'Shem HaMeforosh. That makes it into an upgraded bracha, which is called Bracha Chaim Ad Olam. And that bracha is a unique mitzvah of Birchas Kohanim B'Migdash. Rabosai, is the Ramban understanding A, that the recitation of Shem HaMeforosh in the Birchas Kohanim B'Migdash is sort of coincidental to the bracha, or is he telling you something that's essential and unique about the nature of the bracha? And it's the second one. I have no doubt that the Ramban is telling us that this mitzvah of Birchas Kohen is fulfilled in two ways, in two locations, and there's a fundamental difference between the two. That Birchas Kohen in the Migdash changes. It's transformed. It's elevated to a new level because of the Shem HaMeforosh. There is a Birchas Kohen outside of the Migdash, but it's not the original. It doesn't measure up to the Birchas HaMigdash as a separate kium, because in Migdash it becomes a bracha Chaim al Olam by virtue of the Shem HaMeforosh. The Ramban is crystal clear that the Torah mentions Birchas Kohanim originally in the Hakamas HaMishkan, because there HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mitzaveh a bracha that would be Chaim ad Olam, and that Birchas Kohanim B'Migdash is unique in those features of Chaim ad Olam, and therefore they require the Shem HaMeforosh. So again, I think the Ramban is saying, forget about the mitzvah klolis, the general mitzvah of Haskara Shem Hashem B'Migdash. That might be true, and that should apply here in Birchas Kohanim B'Migdash as well. But the Ramban is saying that the Birchas Kohanim that you see in Parshas Naso has a very important precedent. It's almost as if there's an Av Malacha and a Toldah. The Av Malacha of Birchas Kohanim is the Birchas Kohanim of Parshas Vayikra in the Mishkan, in which Aaron was commanded by Hashem, I will bring down the bracha when you mention the Shem HaMiyuchad. And that formulates the special, unique mitzvah of Birchas Kohanim B'Migdash. And then we have Parshas Naso, that's already the Tolva, as I call it. That's already a spin-off. That's already a, you know, not such a great imitation of the original. You know, it's we need it, and we have to have it, and it's a mitzvah, and it's going to be counted in Taryag. But it's not the real thing, as Coca-Cola would say. You know, yesh tam lechayim, chayim ad olam. I don't mean to say that I advocate drinking Coke. I have a feeling that Coke is the opposite of chayim ad olam, but that's up to you to decide for yourselves. It's full of sugars. But the original Birchas Kohanim is the Birchas Kohanim of the Mishkan. That, says the Ramban, is elevated to a much higher and more profound level of bracha. And therefore he quotes our mission of requiring Shem HaMeforosh. The Shem HaMeforosh is going to have an impact on the Birchas Kohanim. It's going to change the Birchas Kohanim, transform it and upgrade it to the level of Chaim Ad Olam.
Can you tell me what Chaim Ad Olam means?
I don't know. For that, you'd have to look. In my humble opinion, the best place to look for the Kabbalistic meaning of the Ramban is in a book called Hadrei Kodesh. Are you familiar with it? So, Bli Neder, if you remind me, Michael, I'll bring it in to show it to you. He's the only one that took upon himself to delve into. If you look, again, I didn't do this, but I can promise you without even looking that if you look in the art scroll Ramban on a Chumash, he will write you a footnote. He will say that the translation of this Ramban is beyond the scope of this elucidation. I know by heart already, because it's about 30% of the Ramban al Torah fits into that description. So they just copy and paste it over and over again on every other page. And not, I don't want you to misunderstand me, they did a fantastic job. I'm not a big art school fan, you know, because I think art school sometimes is a little bit too superficial. But art school on the Ramban, if you have $1 million to spend, you should spend it on the Ramban. It's seven big fat volumes. I bought it, unfortunately, when the Canadian dollar was worth something. So it cost me $200 Canadian. Today, you have to add another third, I think, or something like that to the price. But they did a fantastic job, except for one problem. If you're interested in these kind of words, which creep up in the Ramban left, right, and center, the art school is just going to tell you, Hey Ramti es Yadi, I can't help you over here. It's beyond the scope of this elucidation.
Because the pasuk in Shmini says very little. And it just says, the Kohanim will bless the people, full stop.
Right. The Ramban says that when it comes to Mikdash, or Mishkan in this case, the bracha takes on another meaning. It's called Chaim. Chaim is a spiritual entity. The Rambam is a little bit less explicit, more subtle, but I think you could derive the same conclusion. I'm going to read to you the Rambam from the original. I have the Rambam in front of me, Perek Yudal Milchus Tfila. Halach Yudal. The Rambam says the following. And you're better off listening to this because I accidentally cut off part of the Rambam prematurely. Ein birchas kohanim ne'meres b'chol makom ela v'loshon ha'kodesh she'nemar kosev varchu es b'nei Yisrael. Kach lomdu shomei shmua mi'moshe Rabbeinu. And then he goes on to say, from Kosev Aruch we derive other requirements in Birchas Kohanim. Kosev Aruch ba'amida, B'li Neder, I hope we'll get to this. Kosev Aruch b'nesias kapayim, they have to lift their hands. Kosev Aruch b'loshen kodesh. Kosev Aruch panim keneged panim. Kosev Aruch b'kol ram. And then, which unfortunately I left out on your page, Kosev Aruch b'shem ha'mefarash. But that only applies in the Beis HaMikdash. All the other requirements apply even b'gvulin and b'din outside the Mikdash. Rabosa, I want to make 2 points in this Rambam. Point number one is the Rambam derives the halacha, the requirement of Shema Mefarish from the Pasuk Kosev Aruch. That's explicit in the Rambam. That itself indicates that's halacha in defining the nature of Birchas Kohanim in the Mikdash. And number two, the fact that the Rambam lists this requirement of Shema Mefarsh in the very same enumeration in which he requires Lashon Kodesh, he requires Amida, he requires Nesias Kapayim, all the above are requirements that define the nature of the mitzvah of Birchas Kohen. And on the list he attaches Shema Mefarsh. You get the distinct impression that to the same extent all the other requirements define the nature of the mitzvah of Birchas Kohanim, so too the requirement of Shema Mefarsh, at least in Migdash, defines the nature of the mitzvah of Birchas Kohanim b'Migdash. But having said all that, and basing myself largely on the Tanakhama, the Braisa, the Kosev Aruch, and on the Ramban in his Pirush al Torah and Parshas Noso, together with the Rambam here in Hilchos Tefillah, I then ask you the following question. So what would be if the Shema Mefarsh was omitted in the Beis HaMikdash? And I was disappointed to find out that there still would be Birchas Kohanim in Beis HaMikdash. And where do we see that? The Rambam has it at the end of the previous halacha. In Halacha Yud, the Rambam says in the same Perek Yudalid, "V'omer es Hashem kiksavo, v'hu Hashem hanege miyud kei vav kei." Means it's enunciated with the vocalization of these four letters. "V'zeu Shem haMeforash ha'amur bechol makom. Then the Rambam says, "Ube medina omer mosa bekinuyav v'uba aleph dalit." She'ein maskirin es Hashem kiksavo ela b'migdash bilvad, which I understand to mean, based on what we saw in the Rambam in Halacha Yud Aleph, that the requirement to engender the kiyum of birchas kohanim b'shem ha'mefarish is limited to the birchas kohanim of Mikdash. There you could be mekayim the mitzvah of birchas kohanim with the shem ha'mefarish, but not without it. And here I'm happy. But then the Rambam says, "Umishameis Shimon Atzadik, pasku hakohanim milavarech b'shem ha'mefarash." What does the Rambam seem to indicate? Did they completely omit birchas kohanim in the Beis Hamikdash? No, the Rambam says beferush. He says pasku milavarech b'shem ha'mefarash, but he's not saying pasku milavarech birchas kohanim. Period. And that would indicate that even in the absence of Shem HaMeforosh, nevertheless, you can be Mekayim the mitzvah of Birchas Kohanim Shem HaMikdash. Is Doch Lehejah, it seems explicit, that the Rambam is again, not like we saw in Halacha Yud, that it's a separate Halacha in Birchas Kohanim, that the Brach has to be recited with the Shem HaMeforosh. But you know what? This Halacha in Mikdash, and it'd be very nice to enhance the Beis Hamikdash with the Shem HaMefarsh Haskar Shem HaMiyuchad, but if we can't do it, Mishameis Shimon HaTzadik, you know, the Shechina is not there, or at least not there in the same intensity that it was there during the lifetime of Shimon HaTzadik, then, okay, let's leave out the Birchas Kohanim, the Beis Hamikdash. So Rav Osai, what's the only thing that we could say here, I think, in order to make some sort of reconciliation between what we understood in the Rambam and Halacha Yud Aleph with what the Rambam is saying here in Halacha Yud? Why did they continue reciting Birchas Kohanim in the Beis Hamikdash even after the Misa of Shimon HaTzadik, and now it was the inability to recite the Shema Mefarash? Do you remember, Rav Osai, what we saw, what we tried to suggest in Rav Yoshia? Rav Yoshia says, Eino Tzarech. What is he saying, Eino Tzarech? Alan, do you remember what we said?
No.
Okay, no, what I tried to say before was that Rav Yoshia is not denying that the mitzvah of Birchas Kohanim Shem HaMikdash requires the Shema Mefarash. That's inherent in the bracha, and that's the nature of the kiyum. But Rav Yoshia wanted to add, what?
You don't need that pasuk.
Because in addition, in other words, what Rav Yoshia is trying to say is that independent of that halacha, I would still require Shem HaMefarash, insofar as it expresses the application of the universal rule of Azkar Shem HaShem B'Mikdash.
So what are you going to do with Shimon HaTzadik then?
So now what I'm suggesting is that after the death of Shimon HaTzadik, they had to forfeit one mitzvah, but they still obtained the other mitzvah. In other words, the Mikdash is lo garua migvulin. Whenever there's a machayev of birchas kohanim, it doesn't matter whether you happen to be in the Mikdash or in gvulin, there's a chiyuv of birchas kohanim. The unique nature of birchas kohanim b'mikdash adds another kiyum, and that's the unique kiyum of birchas kohanim b'mikdash. But it doesn't mean that the unique mitzvah of birchas kohanim b'mikdash undermines the mitzvah klalis of Haskaras Hashem. So what you have basically is, I didn't say that right, let me try it again. What I'm saying is, there's an overlap here of two mitzvahs. There's the mitzvah, what I meant to say is, let's scratch what I said until now. What I meant to say is that in Mikdash you have an overlap of two mitzvahs. You have the mitzvah klolis of Birchas Kohanim B'Gvulin, that's what I meant to say, I stand corrected. And you have the specific, unique mitzvah that's generated by Mikdash of Birchas Kohanim B'Mikdash. The Nafkamina is Haskaras Hashem. If I'm dealing with the unique mitzvah in Beis HaMikdash to create Birchas Kohanim B'Mikdash, I need what? Haskaras Hashem. But there's also a general mitzvah of Birchas Kohanim that applies Bein B'Gvulin outside the Mikdash, Bein B'Mikdash, Logara Mikdash. It's like the Gemara says in Kiddushin, that why did the Torah have to tell us that an Almana is not allowed to, excuse me, that a Kohen Gadol is not allowed to marry a Grusha, a Zona, and a Chalola. That's why I freak the Gemara. The Gemara says, Bishlam, I understand why the Torah had to go out of its way to tell me that a Kohen Gadol is not allowed to marry an Almana, because a Kohen Hedjot, who only has that level of Kedusha, is not enjoined from marrying an Almana. So the Torah wants him a Chadish, but the Kohen Gadol, because of his special Madrega of Kedusha, he's enjoined from marrying an Almana. But why did the Torah feel compelled to repeat that which we already know from a Kohen Hedjot, namely that he's not allowed to marry a Zona, Chalola, or a Grusha, and the Torah went out of its way to repeat that in Kohen Gadol? So the Gemara wants to say that he'll get two sets of Malkus. He'll get one set of Malkus because a Kohen Gadol has also Kedushas Kohen Hedjot, and he's enjoined from Zona, Chalola, and Grusha. On top of that, in the case of Zona, Chalola, Grusha, there's a separate set of Malkus, or the Lo Yikach, which is a special law that addresses the Almana of the Kohen Gadol. Okay, forget all that. What I wanted to just say is that here, what we're saying is that in Beis HaMikdash, Beis HaMikdash lo gara kedushas aho migvulin, right? Like lo gara kedushas, you know, Almana. I'm sorry, Kohen Gadol.
That's not so, though. That's not so. Maybe it has a higher kedusha, and therefore only Shema Furish can be said.
That's what I would have said intuitively, but all I'm saying, Rabbi, is that the fact that they continued being mevarech the Birchas Konim in the Mikdash even after the point in which, after the historical period in which they terminated reciting the Shema Mefarsh, meaning the Shechina wasn't there after Shimon HaTzadik died, which would be a sufficient Shechina to allow for the Shema Mefarsh. That no longer existed. That was a thing of the past. Unfortunately, it was history. Nevertheless, the way we're reading the Rambam, they continue to be Mavarek Kohen. And why?
But why did you say there's a rabbanan?
Why do you have position? That's not, that wasn't the only difference.
Right, so we have to. So, right, Mitch, you know, we may want to analyze that, but I think you have to agree with me fundamentally. I think, tell me if I'm wrong, you have to agree with me that according to the Rambam, even if we forfeit that unique cue of Birchas Konish Mimiglish because we can no longer recite the Shema Mefarsh, nevertheless, we continue to be Makai in the midst of Birchas Konish. How so? The way we defined it, it's not just the general halacha of Mikdash, it's halacha in Birchas Kohanim. The answer must be that even in Mikdash, there's no hafkah of the general mitzvah b'gvulin of Kol Sivarchas B'nei Yisrael that's formulated in Parshas Noso. The Torah adds to boot a new dimension and a new cube of Birchas Kohanim in Mikdash, but not to undermine the old mitzvah that applies anywhere on the face of the earth of Birchas Kohanim. And therefore, the nafkamina would be that even without Shema Mefarash, you would continue to be Mevarech Birchas Kohanim in the Beis HaMikdash. Why? Isn't it meaningless? The answer is no. It's not meaningless. It's not meaningless. That's a double negative, right? But rather in a positive sense, the kiyum, I'll call upon him, at the very minimum, of Birchas Konish
HaBegvulin. Where did they learn that Parshas Naso was talking about a mitzvah d'oraisa of Birchas Konish HaBegvulin? Well, why don't they... those that hold the Tanakhama, that holds that the mitzvah requires the Shema Mefarash, would say that's a din.
No, you're right. What we're doing is we're taking one parsha and we're saying that parsha really gives me, it really produces, so to speak, two different kiyumim. They're all part of one mitzvah. So there's one kiyum which is in general, right, that requires X, Y, and Z, but that could apply even outside the mitzvah.
I understand that. He asked.
Oh, so what are you asking?
How do they know it? How do they know there's such a thing as a second, and it's at the bottom of it? Maybe all the rest of it, without the Shema Mefarash, is the Rabbanan. It's not D'oraisa.
But again, if you derive it, take a look at the Gemara again. The Gemara derives from Psukim. It's not some sort of rabbinic invention. Let's look at the Psukim once more. It says over here, V'samu eshmi. Right, the word Shmi means Shmi Amiyuk. So you and I would say that maybe the parsha therefore is only addressing which mitzvah of Birchas Kohanim? Only a Mikdash. He says no. The Pasha applies even Begvulin. No, if the Pasha applies even Begvulin, maybe the Pasha requires that same contingency of shame, Hamiyuchad, and therefore he derives from a separate Pasuk in Dvarim Yud Beis that no, only in Beis HaMikdash do we have the extra requirement of Shmi. So again, the way you read the Pasuk is as follows. Vishamu is shame, shame is just Kinui, and Shmi with the Yud at the end is shame Hamiyuchad. And that's how we're reading it. Again, it's all based on different psukim. Yeah, I don't think it's in the Rabbanon. I don't know.
The second Mandalmer, is saying that the real requirement of Yud-Ke Vav-Ke is only the Mikdash. So when you're in the Mikdash, you say it Yud-Ke Vav-Ke. When you say it outside of the Mikdash, you could say it with Kinoi. So then, according to that Shita, there's no problem with saying it's a Diorisa, Chutz L'Mikdash. But so the only problem is the first Shita that's saying that there's
that the word Shmi means what? Migdash. Right. So how do you know there's a mitzvah d'oraisa of Birchas Kohanim outside the Migdash? That's
right.
Your question.
Right, exactly.
Okay, that's one up it for Rabbi Yoshia. But I'm just suggesting, I didn't see any Rishon who says that the mitzvah of Birchas Kohanim is Doraisa and Migdash, but it's only Durabon and Gvulin. I didn't see such a thing. If we find such a thing, then we'll have to say your Shtickle Torah. But I'm working with the premise that Kuliyamalo Pligi, it's in all Rishonim that there's a double mitzvah Doraisa. One is outside the Migdash, one is inside the Migdash. They're both included on the one mitzvah Taryag of Birchas Kohanim, but yet what I'm suggesting is the addition and the requirement of Shem Hashem in Migdash is not just extraneous, it's not just a technicality because it happens to be in the Migdash. You know, we took the Birchas Kohanim from Gvulim and we brought it into the Migdash, and now there's a requirement of Azkar Hashem. But Adarab, the Tanakhama says, V'somu Hashmi. And if V'somu Hashmi means that the Torah is addressing this unique mitzvah, the first one to be Mekayim that mitzvah historically was Aaron, back in Parsha Shmini, correct? And now the Torah is adding, according to the Ramban in his Pirush al Torah, an additional codification of a mitzvah Lidoros outside the Migdash. And the word Shmi is a reflection on that unique mitzvah which Aaron was Mekayim in the Migdash, and which for all generations in which the Migdash stands can be fulfilled as a unique mitzvah of Birchas Kohanim b'Migdash. The problem is, what happens after Shimon HaTzadik dies?
What right did the Chachamim have to change it after Shimon HaTzadik?
Because after Shimon HaTzadik died, there was no Shechinah. And what we're going to see soon.
Yom Kippur, they said it.
Did they still say Yom Kippur?
I don't know. Honestly, I did not get that far.
It was read the rest of that Rambam after Shemini Esrei.
Oh, he talks about Yom Kippur? I didn't
see. We'll see what he says.
I mean, I read to the end of that Halach. Is it different?
No, Halach
Yud. Oh, you're back in Halach Yud.
Shemini Esrei. Second.
Pascha Kohen. Yeah, I don't know. Rabbi, you know what? I'm just going to, just because I didn't see that halach of Yom Kippur, I don't know if that's what the Rambam is talking about. I'm going to defer to another time, and we'll talk about
Yom Kippur. How could the Chachomim say that there's a din of Shema Mefurash? Let's get rid of it.
Again, because the Chacham understood that, as we're going to soon see over and over again, that there's a special din in Beis HaMikdash of kavod for the Shekhinah. And that's how they understood the requirement of Shema Mefarish. When Shimon HaTzadik died, and again we didn't go through that sugya, but I'm just pointing out that the Shekhinah was to some extent lost, there was no longer that Mechayev of Shema Mefarish. Okay, you have a cash, and we have to address it. Okay, Rabosai, where are we up to? Let's go back, Rabosai, to the beginning. You know, let's go back to the beginning. The Mishnah in Sota establishes that b'medina, on the second line, hakonim. Kohanim nosim es yedeyem kineged kisfeyem. So how far up, how high up do the Kohanim raise their hands? Up to the length of what? The height of what? Of the shoulders. ubimigdash al gabi rosheihem. There they would have to lift their arms, this was a requirement in Migdash, all the way up, on top of their shoulders, and on top of their heads. That's how high up they would have to lift their arms. I don't know. That's a good question, Mitch. But as far as the Mishnah is concerned, I just want to raise the following question. Just a Pshatovna question. When we read that B'Medina, the Mishnah says, Nosim es yideyem keneged kisfeyem, what is the Mishnah telling me? Is it A, that there's no, shall we say, there's no possibility or there's no permissibility for the Kohanim to lift their arms above their heads? Or is the Mishnah saying no? There's no requirement, there's no obligation for the Kohanim outside of the Mikdash to lift their arms above their heads. And the Nafkamina is, if you're telling me there's no permissibility, then I might go as far as to say that if the Kohanim would lift their arms above their heads outside of the Mikdash, that would undermine the Kiyum of Birchas Kohanim. But if I say it the second way, that the Kohanim outside the Mikdash are not required to lift their arms above their heads, then what the Mishnah is really saying is that as long as they lifted their arms above their shoulders, connected their shoulders, that's sufficient, and they therefore fulfill the mitzvah of Birchas Kohanim. If they want to lift their arms all the way up to the top, that could be okay as well. That's acceptable as well. In Mikdash, on the other hand, the requirement incumbent upon the Kohanim is to lift their arms on top of their heads. I can't tell you the answer to this question. I don't know. Maybe you know I don't. I would just tell you intuitively, my sense would be that it's okay if they want to lift their arms above their heads. In fact, the very fact that in Mikdash you can lift your arms above the heads, I mean, that would seem to be proof positive that the mitzvah of Birchas Kohanim could be fulfilled even in that way. But the Chiddush is that in Mikdash, because of the Shekhinah, there's a requirement of Kavod HaShekhinah that makes it incumbent upon the Kohanim to lift their arms above their heads. That requirement doesn't exist outside of the Beis Mikdash. Yeah, Yisrael?
I look at it from a practical standpoint.
And?
And if you don't lift your hands at least as high as your eyes, the talus slips off your head.
Okay. That's a good answer to my question, I guess. Yeah. Then it says, Chutz mikohen gadol, she'eino magbia es yodov lemalo min atzitz. The kohen gadol is not allowed. Now here it's very strong. The language of the Mishnah, I think, is very demanding. The Kohen Gadol is not allowed to be magbia es yodov lemaila min hatzitz. Now, if Kohen Gadol is the exception to the rule in Migdash, because again, what's the general rule in Migdash for all Kohenim? They will lift up their arms all the way on top of their heads. Then I'm not sure I understand the chutz mikohen gadol. What do I mean? One way of understanding this Mishnah is to say that we have here a collision. There's a collision between the tzitz and the mitzvah of Birchas Kohanim. The mitzvah of Birchas Kohanim, per se, in Beis HaMikdash, requires al gabi rosheihem. But the mitzvah of tzitz disallows, if there's such a word, Did I just create a word? My wife always accuses me of creating words. I don't know. Disallows raising their hands above their heads. So you have a funny kind of situation here. You've got A and not A at the same time. You know, which will it be? Will it be the mitzvah? One is going to have to bow. What's the word?
Take precedence.
Yeah, one will take precedence. And what's the other one? We'll have to bow. How would you say? Kowtow? I don't know what word you want to use. To the other. Which is more important, so to speak? Should we advocate in favor of Birchas Kohanim, and that means Al Gabi Roshayim, or should we advocate in favor of the tzitz, and that prohibits the Kohen Gadol from lifting his arms above the tzitz, above his head? So Rav Bosai, honestly, again, no way, there's no Kafal Emar Kigigas here, it's a democratic country, but I think that that's absolutely wrong.
Yep, absolutely
right. Wrong. I think that that's not the correct approach to learn this mission. I'll tell you why. Because if we're talking about a collision between an Isser and a mitzvah, then it may surprise you, but I think that the mitzvah takes precedence. What do I mean? We have halacha of mitzvos obekach. That's a principle in Shas. Take, for example, the Kohanim wore what in their begotten? They wore shatnez. So you'll ask me, wait a minute, you're not allowed to wear shatnez. How can we allow the Kohanim to wear shatnez? And the answer is, the sugi nivamis, mitzvah sovakach. What does mitzvah sovakach mean? Mitzvah sovakach means that when the Torah gives you a mitzvah that addresses exactly that case of an isur, what the Torah is doing, in effect, is it's limiting that isur. You're telling me that the Kohanim are enjoined from raising their hands above the Kohen Gadol is enjoined from raising his arms above the tzitz. That's correct. B'medvar Mamurim, however, I would limit that to a rishus. You know, the Kohen Gadol wants to, you know, give a drasha in the Lishkas Hagazis, and he's wearing the tzitz. You know, he can't wave his arms above the tzitz. That I understand. But if the Torah commands the Kohanim, and no less the Kohen Gadol than any other Kohen, in the mitzvah of Birchas Kohanim, that's not a violation of the Isur Tzitz. That's telling you that that's the mitzvah. The mitzvah requires Lamala B'Rasheyah. And therefore, Abosa, I would submit to you a second pshat in the Mishnah, an alternative pshat. What the Mishnah really means is that the halacha of raising the arms above the head in the Beis HaMikdash is not a halacha in mitzvahs birchas kohanim. This is the opposite of what I said about Shema Mefarash, but rather it's halacha of kavod HaMikdash, which really means kavod HaShechina. In the case of the tzitz requires kavod, and that kavod expresses itself in the fact that the Kohen Gadol is enjoined from raising his arms up on top of his head, above the tzitz. And now, what we have here is a different type of issue entirely. Not a collision between a mitzvah and an isur, but rather two mitzvahs which are really fundamentally identical, namely deference or kavod. And the issue is one of priorities, meaning where does the priority lie? Where does the Kriyuv Kavod take precedence? Which trumps which? Should we say that the Kriyuv Kavod of Shechina that expresses itself in mitzvahs birchas kohanim shebemigdash, that Kriyuv Kavod for Shechina trumps the Kriyuv Kavod vis-a-vis the tzitz? Or the opposite? Does the Kavod of the Shechina, because the shame is written on the tzitz, does that take precedence? And therefore that priority, that deference of kavod, trumps the deference of kavod of birchas kohen in the shame, and therefore we tell the kohen that he should give kavod to the tzitz. And therefore, Rabosai, I would suggest the following, that if the issue here is only one of priorities, one second, I wrote myself a note here, then what this mission is trying to express is that we should defer kavod for the tzitz because the shame is written in the tzitz. What do I want to drive at? Now what I'm about to say is dok v'tishkach. I mean, whatever I'm about to say now, please forget that I ever said this, because what I'm going to say is absolutely crazy. I told you before that I believe that when the Mishnah says b'medina kineged kisfehem, what it means is that's sufficient. And there's no reason in the world why the Kohanim can't raise their arms above their heads. In fact, that's what the Kohanim did in the Beis HaMikdash. They're not required to do it outside the Beis HaMikdash, but if they want to do so, they certainly can. Now I want to say punkfakert, that that's not right. That even though it would be a great covet for the Shechina, if the Kohanim would raise their arms above their head, even b'medina, they're not required to do so because the Shechina is intense in the Mikdash, they cannot do so. And why is that? Because of Kavod HaTzitz. Where's Kavod HaTzitz in Medina? When was the last time you or I, Harvey, wore Tzitz?
Tefillin.
Exactly. Baruch Hashem, Tefillin. Because if you take a look at the Rambam says an unbelievable thing. That if you can compare, on the one hand, Kedushas Tzitz, and on the other hand, Kedushas Tefillin, and by the way, he says it not only about Tefillin Shel Yad and Shel Rosh, he says it even about Tefillin Shel Yad, which again, I shouldn't say even, because my humble opinion is that Tefillin Shel Yad is greater than Tefillin Shel Rosh, but anyway, that's not for now. The Rambam says that Kedushas Tefillin is greater than the Kedushas Tzitz. And therefore the Rambam writes, with regard to Hesek Hadas, Chayev Odom L'mashmeish B'tfilo of Kol Zman Shem Olav Lo Yasiach Taitamehem, etc., etc. And why? Because the Kedush of Tefillin supersedes that of the Tzitz. The Tzitz has one Shem HaMiyuchad on it, and Tefillin has 21 names of Hashem. Isach M'meila Rabosai. What I'm going to suggest now, and again it's Dok V'Tishkach, I'm going to deny I ever said it, is that if Kedushas Tefillin is greater than Kedushas Tzitz, and what we find in Tzitz is that the Kohen Gadol is enjoined from raising his arms above the Tzitz, then when you and I wear Tefillin, and we're wearing the Tzitz, or a Kedusha that's even greater than that of the Tzitz, we too are enjoined from raising our arms above our heads. Because that would be, in a sense, an insult, or at least the lack of respect for the Kedusha of the Tefillin, which has the Kedusha of Tzitz. And if that be the case, Rabbosai, let's go back to our Mishnah, and now I read the Mishnah a different way. When the Mishnah says, B'medina kohanim nosim es yadayim kineged kisveihem, that halacha is addressed even to us. But what does it mean, even to us? Like the Kohen Gadol in the case of Tzitz, us if we're wearing Tefillin. The only problem is, obviously you're going to ask me, how do I read the next words of the Mishnah? The Mishnah says that the Migdash al Gabe Roshem. Who's the Mishnah addressing now? Kohanim. So the Kohanim in Beis HaMigdash will raise their hands above their heads. Well, Berzon, very nice Shtikul Torah, but you're not consistent over here in the reading of the Mishnah, because you're telling me that outside of the Mikdash we have to worry about the Kohanim, have to worry about Keneged Kisveihem and not Lamalim and Arosh because of Kedushas Tefillin. If that be the case, if that's the subject of the Mishnah, what about Kohanim and Mikdash? The answer is, Rabosai, I believe that this Mishnah is addressing the issue of Kohanim without Tefillin. It could very well be that based on the Rambam Hilchos Tefillin Perek Daled, we may be tempted to come to the conclusion that the Kohanim should not raise their hands above their heads because of Kedushas Tefillin, because there's all a lot of priorities. And just like the Kohen Gadol has deference and priority of Tzitz over the Birchas Kohanim, because Birchas Kohanim that requires Keneged HaRosh is also a covet halacha, so the question is which covet trumps which covet, so too we also have a problem for our Kohanim of which covet above the other talus issue, Yisrael. I'm saying even if, let's say, you didn't have a talus, right? The talus is not ma'akev in Birchas Kohanim. So you didn't have a talus, right? I would still tell you not to raise your hands. Again, I'm not passing aloch l'maisa, tzarkim v'poskim. I'm sure you'll find it in the Mishnah Berurah, right? But without looking at Mishnah Berurah, my heart tells me intuitively that the Kohanim should not be lifting their arms above their heads during Birchas Kohanim if they're wearing tefillin. Now, if they're not wearing tefillin, that's a different story. So my mitzvah is that you don't have the problem of the talis and they're wearing tefillin, okay? That's, you know, in that scenario. But why does the Mishnah say Kohanim nosim es yedeim keneged kitfehem, and that's enough? They don't have to go the step beyond that in Migdash requires above the head. The answer is because since there's no intense Shechina like and Gvulin like there is, again, whatever that means, Michael's going to ask me what's the difference between intense Shechina and non-intense Shechina. I don't know. For that, you have to learn the Hadron Kodesh, as I said before. But obviously, the place of Shechina called Makom Asher Azkir Shmi, that's in the base HaMikdash. That's the essence of the Mikdash according to the Ramban. That it's a Makom Ashras HaShechina. We have Shechina Chutz Mikdash when you have 10 Jews getting together and davening a Dovah Shev Kedusha, and therefore the Gemara derives the requirement of Asara of Dovah Shev Kedusha from Shechina, right? Because Shechina appears, whatever that means, whenever there's a minyan, and specifically during the time of Birchas Kohanim, because Hashchina Shora Ben Kishrei Etzposeim Shel Kohanim, that applies even outside the Beis Hamikdash. But the Mishnah now is focused on the issue of Kavod Hamikdash, and within the context of the issue of Kavod Hamikdash, we certainly require in deference for the Shechina, that intense Shechina in the Mikdash, that the Kohen have to lift up their arms above their heads. That requirement is dropped outside the Mikdash, where the Shechina, albeit, is there, but not on the same intense level. Now you ask me another question. Could it be that the halacha that's formulated here with regard to the Kohen Gadol, regardless of tefillin, but he's wearing tzitz, would that apply for us? For our Kohanim today, Lamaisa, when they are wearing tefillin, my opinion is why not? The Rambam has a Kal Vachomer. The Rambam says that Kedushas tefillin is greater than that of Kedushas tzitz, but has nothing to do with the Mishnah itself.
I have one little problem with that formulation, because if it were true, I'm not saying it isn't, but if it were true, then there would be a nafka mina between how Yeduchan Chol and how you do one of Shabbos and Yom Tov, you're not wearing tefillin.
Correct.
I've never seen any breath of that.
Right.
And I've been.
But I always say when I give it. Yisrael, I always say the following: Lo ra'inu eina raya. What do I mean?
Right.
Now I come from, again, it's a question of what school you come from, but I come from a school of thought which allows for free thinking. I know in certain circles they take it a little bit too far, but within a halakhic framework. The counter argument to what I'm saying is to analyze the Rambam in Kedushas Tefillin. What does the Rambam mean? Is the Rambam going to tell me that all the dinim that apply to tzitz, therefore, if so facto, apply to tefillin with the Kal Vachomer? I don't know. That requires a great deal of analysis. And it could be that what I said is wrong. It's totally wrong. But I'm just saying, Biknufia, you know, if you look at it at first, you know, at first glance, how do we say superficially, you would get that impression. Yeah, Alan, go ahead.
I have a lot of trouble with this Rambam. It seems to me that this has to be just an asmachta. It's not really a Kal Vachomer. Because it doesn't partially make sense to me at all. Number one, if you're not talking about that the tzitz, the importance of the tzitz is that there's some sort of tzimtzum of the Shechina.
That's a good word. I'm sure Michael loves that word.
The tzitz, rather than just that it just says Yudke Bavke on it, because the Torah that we read on Mondays, Thursdays, and Shabbos and Yom Tov has many, many more times than tefillin and tzitz and anything else. And you're sitting there, and you're above the Sefer Torah, the level of the Sefer Torah when you're reading it. You're putting those that use a yad, because of a yad, they put a yad down. They're holding it above the above. It doesn't make any sense to me. It's the pashtus of the matter is if you're talking to you're thinking about a tzimtzum, then I can understand. Then what is the difference between in the mikdash with the kohen hedyot and a kohen gadol? I think maybe the difference in the halacha of when the hedyot can raise above the katef and when not is related to whether the Kohen Gadol is with him. Because if the Kohen Gadol is with him and he's wearing the tzitz, I don't see any reason why it's not an e-covered the same way for a Kohen hedyot to have his hands above the level that the tzitz is sitting on the Kohen Gadol.
I don't know, Alan. I just want to know, Rabosai, do we have like 5 minutes? Can I push it 5 minutes?
Yeah.
I just want to sort of round up our discussion. If you take a look on your page, You have here, towards the end of your page, a brisa in the same sugya in Sota, and that brisa addresses two issues, two requirements in Birchas Kohanim. One is the requirement of Lashon Kodesh, and the other is the requirement of Amida. And in both cases, which is starting on page 1 and flipping over to page 2, you will see a machlokes as to how you derive this requirement of, in one case, Lashon Kodesh, and in the other case, which is on the second side of your page, the requirement of Amida, that the Kohanim have to stand. And it's not the same machlokes, by the way, because in the first case it's machlokes between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda. In the second case it's a machlokes of Amida, it's a machlokes between Tanakhama and Rabbi Nosson. But be that as it may, as you know, I'm always interested and curious about the way you derive a halacha, the alfusa itself. Does it tell you something? Does it reveal something? So we have a double machlokas here. The first machlokas, Roman numeral number 1, is how do we derive the requirement in Birchas Kohanim of Lashon Kodesh. So if you take a look the next to the last source on your page, you will see that according to the Tanakhama, again before we get to Rabbi Yehuda, this is derived from the pasuk Ko Sivarchu es b'nei Yisrael. And in this Sivarchu, I would emphasize the word Sivarchu, we have a Gzeres Shav. Where else do we have the word Bracha in a different context? It says, Nemar Lahalon, at the end of the Torah, with the Bracha San HaGrizim, HaReval, it says, Eli Yamdu, and what's the next word? Levarech. Levarech is again a concept of Bracha. And the Tanakhama take the bracha of Birchas Kohanim together with the bracha at the end of Sefer Dvarim, and they say just like the bracha of Sefer Dvarim, before it says Levarech, what's the word that comes before Levarech? Yamdu, and there's a requirement of Amida. So too in Birchas Kohanim, which says Kosevarech, Kosevarchu, it's also Amida. That's the Gzeres Shava of the Chacham. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Eino Tzarech. You don't need that. Because Hareyu Omer Ko. Ko means Ad She Yomro B'Loshen Kodesh. Is it possible that the machlokas here between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda is not just a technical question of how to derive this requirement of Loshen Kodesh, but it's a very fundamental issue. A very fundamental issue. Yesh lach. What is the nature of the requirement of Lashon Kodesh? Is it A or is it B? Anybody want to take a shot at it? What are the two possible ways, before we get to the Machlokas or the Tanakhama of Yehuda, what are the two possible logical ways of understanding the requirement of Lashon Kodesh?
It's essential.
Essential to what?
To the Lashon.
You see, every mitzvah has two parts to it. So when you say it's essential, I have to know whether it's essential to either A or B. What are the two parts of every mitzvah? Kiyum is the second one. Okay, you're a step ahead of me, Avi. But what's the first basic element of Masa? So there's a Masa mitzvah and there's a Kiyum mitzvah. The Masa bracha and the Kiyum mitzvah, the bracha. Yesh lachkar. This requirement of Lashon Kodesh, I'm going to try to apply the same chakira to Amida. This requirement of Lashon Kodesh, is it halach in the Maisa Bracha? This is the way the Kohen is Mevarech? Or it's a Tanai, it's a condition in the Kiyum HaMitzvah. The Maisa Bracha could be in any language. Kriya Shema could be recited in any language. Tefillah could be recited in any language. All of Brachas can be recited in any language. Birchas HaMazon could be recited in any language. So too Birchas Kohenim could be recited in any language. But the Torah said, you know what? There's a halacha, a requirement in the Kiyum HaMitzvah that the Kohen cannot be Mekayim his mitzvah without Lashon Kodesh. Shar Lashonus is great for a bracha, but it does not obtain or achieve the Kiyum HaMitzvah. So again, the first way we're understanding it is that if he was Mevarech B'Shar Lashonus, the Kohen forfeits the very Maisa bracha. The second way we're formulating it is that he forfeits the Kiyum HaBracha, but nevertheless the Maisa bracha he has implemented. And then, of course, Michael's going to ask me, my nafkimina, what difference does it make whether he forfeits the ma'isa bracha or he only forfeits the kiyuma bracha? And then nafkimina is the Rambam at the bottom of your page. The Rambam says the following. This Perek Yud Dalet, Halacha Yud Beis. So far we studied Yud, Yud Aleph, now we're up to Yud Beis. Okay, I'm just going to dramatize this. The Kohen is in the mood. Yisrael, you're a Kohen, right?
Right.
You're in the mood to give me, or whoever's sitting in the audience there, let's say he's a Gadol B'Torah sitting, you want to forget him another bracha. Like, give him a couple extra brachas there, right? So the Rambam says you're not allowed to do so. Why?
Baltos.
Interesting, Baltos. Now, my question to you is the following. And don't laugh at me, Yisrael. You're going to tell me it doesn't appear in the poskim. What can I do? What happens, Yisrael, if you make the following change? You recite the Birchas Kohen in Beloshen Kodesh, and then, you know, Levi, your heart prompts you to add another bracha, but you're very careful. And what language do you recite that bracha? In English, Spanish, French, whatever your favorite language is, okay? American English, British English, South African English, whatever you like. Would that be a violation of Baltos?
No.
In my humble opinion, it depends on the machlokas between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda. The Tanakhama has a gzeirah shavah. Gzeirah shavah doesn't define the ma'isa mitzvah. Rabbi Yehuda, on the other hand, says ko. Ko means this is the bracha. With all the respect, in other cases, filtering out in all other areas of halacha, you know, bracha could be a bracha in any language, but in this particular bracha, the bracha itself, I would go even further to say the ma'isa bracha essentially, as Harvey said, essentially requires Lashon Kodesh. If you want to give brachas in other languages, it's a nice thing to do. In fact, I know many people who bestow brachas all the time. Somebody thought this past Shabbos that since I'm the grandfather of the bar mitzvah boy, I can bestow brachas. So he asked me for a bracha. So I had all sorts of jokes that I wanted to tell him when he asked me for a bracha, but I decided, you know what? He seemed pretty sincere. Amongst Sfaradim, for example, you know, brachas are super duper. He was a Sfaradi. So you know what? I gave him all the brachas I could think of. Baruch Hashem, he understood them. But it was all in a different language. If the Kohen wants to use a different language, says Rav Yehuda, you know what? Garnished. That's a nice bracha. Yeah, anyone could bestow a bracha. Altia, Birchas Hedjo Kalavenech. But it's not Birchas Kohen, because Birchas Kohen is Ko. According to the Tanakhama, it's a din of the Kiyuma Mitzvah. And the Nafkamina is that the Tanakhama would recognize the significance of a Maisa Bracha B'Shar L'Shonos. And if that be the case, here's your Nafkamina, Michael. If the Kohen decides, because his heart prompts him to add a Bracha on top of the three Psukim here, B'Losh and Laz, then he would be in violation, according to the Chachomim, of Baltosif, because he's adding a Bracha. According to Chachomim, it's not a Bracha. According to Rabbi Yehuda, excuse me, it's not a bracha at all. And if it's not a bracha at all, it's very nice, you know, but it's not a Birchas Kohanim, and there's no Baltos. And just to finish up, if you turn to Amud Beis, you'll see a very similar issue with regard to Amida. The Kohanim decided for whatever reason they have to sit. No deal. No go. No show. Why? So there's a machlokas here between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Nosa. Whereas the Tanakhama says, Ko means ba'amida. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, l'sharso. The Torah in Parshas Noso compares Birchas Kohanim to Sherus. Correct? I said Parshas Noso, that was a mistake. But in any event, in Dvarim, Perek Yud, I think it's Parshas Re'eh, if I'm not mistaken, it says l'sharso l'varath l'shmo. What's the equation between bracha, in the case of Kohanim, and Sherus? Sherus is a reflection on a different mitzvah that's incumbent upon the Kohanim, namely Avodah B'Migdash. The Avodah B'Migdash requires Amida. And that's derived from a pasuk in Dvarim Yudches Lamo to L'Shares. So since the Torah has L'Shares here with Levarech Bishmo, again, we have an analogy. Just like the mitzvah of Avodas HaKohen requires Amida, so the mitzvah, and I emphasize that word, the Kiyuma mitzvah of Birchas Kohen requires Amida. That's not the way the Chachamim are saying it. The Chachamim are saying Ko Sevarch. You know what Ko means? What is the nature of this bracha, and how do you implement the Ma'isa bracha? Be'amida. Therefore, I would submit to you the following, that if the Kohen recited the three brachos, and then he decides that he wants to give a little bit extra, you know, why not another bracha? You know, I'm in the mood to give brachas. And now he gives that extra bracha, the yeshiva, he takes his seat and he adds a bracha. Would he be in violation of the Rambam in Halacha Yud Beis, the Rambam that we saw of Baal Tosif? And the answer is, it depends. If you hold like the Chachamim, that Kosev Varchu, that B'Yeshiva, that's not called a bracha, it's not a Maisa bracha, felt in Maisa bracha, then there's no violation of Baal Tosif. If on the other hand you go with Rabbi Yehuda, that we're equating the mitzvah of Avodas HaKohen L'Sharis with the mitzvah Birchas Kohen, which says L'Shar Sol Avarech B'Shmo, that's only a din in the Kirma mitzvah. But the Maisa mitzvah, the Maisa bracha, can be implemented and is validly recognized by the halacha, even the yeshiva. If that be the case, despite the fact that the Kohanim took their seats and they wanted to add a bracha, the yeshiva, that would be a Maisa bracha and it would constitute a violation of Baal Tosif. So B'li Neder, on Yom Revi'i, if everything works out well, we should be able to continue our discussion of Birchas Kohanim. Hopefully next week we'll wrap it all up and we'll go on to other dinim in tefillah that I'd love to study with you.
Sure.
You mean the Kohen himself? So you're talking about the people
in a wheelchair?
Fascinating question. I don't know. Do you have any access to those chairs?
Look, so I saw one chair.
Yeah, you saw one chair.
But it's not necessarily a person.
It seems from this Gemara that it's absolutely required. So I don't know if there are tshuvas that allow it.
And everybody holds it theoretically.
You know what I'm inclined to think about, that maybe in that case, I don't know, this is very scary what I'm about to say, but maybe if you hold that Avida is only required for the Kiruma, the way Rabbi Yehuda has in the Sharsol, and we're going to see in the Rambam that he really codifies Rabbi Yehuda and derives this halacha of Avida from the Sharsol, then I would say, you know what, for the sake of what word should I call it, Kavod HaBriyah, let's call it, then what do we lose by this? Meaning, if this Kohen cannot stand, at least let him engage himself in a Maisa Brocha. My only fear about going down that route is going to be the Brocha. If he's going to recite the Brocha, that becomes a Brocha of Atol. Meaning, I don't mind looking askance, you know, looking aside, looking the other way, and allowing him to bestow upon me a Maisa Brocha. It's no different, it's no worse than a Maisa Hedron. And if Mishum Kavod HaBriyah, it builds him up, you know, I don't even have to give him all the lumpers, but the problem I'm going to face is he's going to make a mistake. So my solution is only there's a knapper, you know, a knapper solution. Yeah, and by the way, as far as the bracha is concerned, Shomer Kohen, there's no problem in telling him listen to the other Kohen. In fact, technically one Kohen can make the bracha on behalf of all the Kohen. I don't know why the minhag is that every Kohen makes the bracha. I'm not exactly sure.
There's a famous thing in Trieste that you've in the Beis HaYosef, but Beis HaLevi, that only one person said the Birchas Kohen, everybody else.
Oh, that's a different issue. You're talking about the Birchas Kohen itself. Oh, that's a heavy issue. But I'm just saying, which I think is not even an issue, it's upgrade, that one Kohen can recite the bracha, the Birchas HaMitzvah on behalf of the other, not the bracha per se.
I wonder if you could make an analogy for somebody who has a mum on his hands, but he's known to the congregation.
Yeah.
So that
is no hesek hadas.
So just like this guy in a wheelchair, he shouldn't be doing it, but everybody knows that he's the guy and he's the wheelchair. That's okay.
So Mitch, my only objection is the brach. I just don't know if indeed yeshiva is ma'akev and completely undermines the kiyuma mitzvah, which seems to be a koi to everyone.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't look in post. Right? This is only I'm learning a sukkah.
I think that's how the monks go. That's how also the monk can't.
No, there it's only mishum hesek hadas. So if you can somehow circumvent the issue of hesek hadas, I'm not telling you that a balmum is the, you know, he's not even a balmum. He has something that's that sort of distracts the people, because again, you know, Yisrael is always yelling about the palace. You know, who sees his hands anyway? But I'm just saying, in that case, there's definitely a mitzvah of Birchas Kohen, and the problem is the Isur of Heschadas. Maybe if, like you say, we know him, we're familiar with him, we can circumvent. But in the case of yeshiva, if he, lo mi boy, if you hold it, it's not even a ma'isa bracha. But even if I hold it, it negates the kiyumah mitzvah. How can he make a bracha on that? You know, you want to send him up and make him feel like he's part of the Kohanim. Maybe I can look aside, you know, covenant priest. But you got to notify him that he should not make the bracha. So I'm not even at first base over here to solve the problem of a Kohen and Nebuchadnezzar on a wheelchair. You hear what he asked me, Yechiel? A Kohen on a wheelchair. So I said that, you know, you might allow him to make a ma'isa bracha if he feels good about it. Because why should he feel terrible about, you know, about being mishutak, you know? What do they call it? Those parking spots. What are they called?
Handicapped accessible.
Yeah, but what's it called in Hebrew here in Israel?
Nechem.
Right, he's a Nechem. So he feels terrible. You know, he's a Kohen. And what does a Kohen do today? He does nothing except for a Kohen. So you're excluding him from that because Nebuchadnezzar is a Nechem. And here in this neighborhood, there are a number of Nechem. It's so fascinating to me. In Har Nof, I live, which has a large population, I don't see as many Nechim as I see here.
But they don't go to the army.
To the army.
But these are women. Okay, maybe these are women. Maybe these are women who got but there's one lady who never has no, you know, has no legs. And you see her running around in this machine. It's motorized, you know, and it flies like the speed of light. So therefore, as an echeh, you know, tell him, encourage him to give a bracha. But the problem is going to be the Birchas HaMitzvah, because the Birchas HaMitzvah you can't play around with, you know.
Well, how do you do it even without the Birchas HaMitzvah?
Well, it might be Baltosif, you say?
Yeah, it's Pashi can't do it the way it's supposed to do it. I mean, what if he's missing fingers, or what if he's missing, you can't say you want to make him feel good. That's life. It's things you can't
no,
do.
No, just that the rabbi told me that he saw somebody, what is it, tshuva of somebody, we're not sure.
In a wheelchair that you could do it.
That maybe we should encourage him, I don't know. I'd love to see the postkin on this. I'm sure it's
somebody holds that.
You know, a lot of what we're doing, Rabosai, and that's why you know, it's difficult because I'm learning a few different things. Yesterday I said two shirim in chumash, which I don't know if you know, preparing a shirim chumash requires a lot of work, maybe even more work than a blot. But in addition to the blot, I'm also learning a little bit of chulin, a drop of yerodeya, a little bit of ksubis, a little bit of kedushin. So, you know, I didn't get a chance to do the research. That's why I've said this many times, but nobody takes me seriously, and that is that this is a shituf pula, you know, like as if all the work is on Verzon. Verzon is only here to try to break through the first superficial level. After that, we need the gedolim here in the room to take the ball and run with it, you know. So I need your help here to research all these different issues, you know, about tzitz and about Pirchas Kohanim in this case and in that case. You know, like Yisrael said to me today, he never found anyone in any posek who would say that during the week the Kohanim cannot raise their hands above their head, then on Shabbos they're allowed to, because they're not wearing
it. It begs exactly when you say that.
But I want to just tell you, Alan, somebody. And that's all I want to tell you. One thing I learned from my Rebbe, there's no such thing as it doesn't exist. You may not know that it exists, because, you know, even if you're Rav Avadi Yosef, and I'm going very, very far over here, who knows every last tshuva, there's always one tshuva that even Rav Avadi was not aware of. Or I'll go even beyond that. There's also something called Torah Shebal Peh. That's why my Rebbe was very opposed. He was very sensitive. Like when he had a guest lecturer, you know, would come into the yeshiva, and then he would sort of whisper to us on the side, because there's certain things that went into his kishkas, and he couldn't tolerate them. And one of the things is, when a person gets up and gives a halacha shiur, and he gives you an overview of all the poskim, and then he comes to the conclusion that, you know, this is what the halacha has to be, because most poskim, you know. So who's the most poskim? The most poskim is the Rav of Pichuch, you know, is someone on the outskirts of Turkey or something. And he, you know, and who agrees with him? And he's got a list of poskim that you and I never heard of, you know, maybe because we're not Sfaradiv. And on the other side, you know, Nebuch, it's only Rabbi Kivega and Rabbi Chaim Valosh, you know, so, you know what I'm saying? So the Rav used to always say that the halach of Achirav Lahatis applies to Sanhedrin HaGadol. There's an Amidah Laminyan, and we take account and we see where the Rav is. That's Kovei Halach. You can't be Kovei Halach because you looked at the postings. And secondly, he said, are you going to tell me that you saw all the postings? There ain't no such thing. It cannot be. Even if you would be, you know, how do we say in the, what's the last tefillah before Baruch on Shabbos, what's it called? Nishvatz. Even if you're like Nishvatz, you know, Rachel Bidiyam, and you have a, you know, and we would live for 1,000 years, and this, that, and the other. You still can't tell because not everything in Torah Shebal Peh was written. Even if you would say you had access to the greatest libraries, to Friedberg's library in Toronto, and you had every last book in the world, not everything is written in the Tshuvas. And there is such a thing as Chiddush. We saw it in the sugya of Tashlum. We ourselves here in this classroom came up with scenarios that you won't necessarily find in the Poskim. And that's what the Ramban points out on the Pasuk of Asisa Yoshva Tov, that why did the Torah give me this klal? Says the Ramban, because it's impossible. The Torah could not have possibly addressed every single scenario, because it's endless, it's infinite. The Torah, as you would call it, the Shechin of Tzimtzum, was mitzamtzem into Torah Shmitzah, right? And in order to do that, something had to get cut off. You know what I mean? Something was left out. So the Ramban says that that's the Asisa Vayosha Tov. What does it mean? That we're commanded to learn the rules that underlie the Torah, the Tamei HaMitzvos. He doesn't mean Tamei in the philosophical sense, but to learn the Gedoros, the Hagdoros, the definitions, so that we can extrapolate to cases. So I'm just saying, if my rule is number one, that the Kohen Gadol is not allowed to raise his hands because of the Kavod HaTzitz, and if the rule number two is that Tefillin has Kedushas Tzitz, then every Kohen who's wearing Tefillin should not be raising his hands above this. Comes along Rabbi Yisrael, and he says to me, I didn't see it in Poskim. He's right. I didn't see it in posting, but what? Well, yeah, but that's not that. That might be a good answer to my point, but you have to go a step beyond that, you have to tell me what's wrong with my logic. You understand what I'm saying?
No. I'm just. That's not.
Yeah.
Don't
take this personally,
Israel. That's not what I was saying. But that was not what I was saying.
No, the difference between Shabbos and Chol.
Exactly.
No. I understand.
Nobody picked up on it.
Nobody picked up on it. I'm just pointing out, Lo Ra'inu Ein Araya. And even if you're convinced that, you know, somewhere in the Mishnah Berurah there should have been a footnote about this, but I'm asking the following question. Okay, let's assume that the Mishnah Berurah omitted it because it's not true. Fine, I'm willing to accept that. I'm not here to, you know, to wave my own flag. But what I'm saying is, tell me what's wrong with my logic.
As far as a good svara, and those people want to apply it, should apply it.
No, but what I'm saying is, Rabbi, is now, if you go with Yisrael's approach, then I want you to, now I'm throwing the ball into your court. And what I'm saying is, this is not a one-man effort here. You have to step up to the plate. You have to learn the sugya of tzitz, which is, by the way, might take you a month or two. You know, tzitz is not an easy sugya. I mean, I haven't learned it in God knows how many years, so I don't remember a thing. But, you know, you got to go through sugyas and yuma about tzitz, then learn sugyas and tefillin, then read the Rambam, then go through all of the first of the Rambam, and then come up with a tzvei din. That the Rambam's equation between, or overlap between tzitz and tefillin is only as far as hesek hadas, but has no implications beyond hesek hadas, right? That requires a good deal of work. You know, just like it would require a lot of work to decide whether some Kohen who's Nebuchadnezzar should duchen, even though he's b'yeshiva, not by me. So I throw the ball back into your...
Art scroll says that Rosh Chodesh, you take your fill...
Excuse me, Rabbi, Rabbeinu Art scroll to you.
it's Rabbi Arthur Scroll.
Rabbi Arthur Scroll. I never heard that one. That's a good one.
That's Rabbi Arthur Scroll.
You take off your tefillin, your musaf, Rosh Chodesh, and you should do it very quickly so that you can daven b'tzibur. Right? If salvation was very makpid, that you put your tefillin away first.
Right.
Even if you miss.
I think I saw that Sharaf also.
Yes. Even if you miss, feel the b'tzibur.
Let's call that tefillin.
Based on this.
as a stance.
I think the point that you made is very, very good.
Okay, we'll think about it. Okay, Rabbi, so let's see.
We'll do it or not, is it?
It's almost